12 declarations that will break the spirit of fear. Ooh, I like this. So we're going to have to start to look and see what fear is first, because y'all watch too many scary movies. And you think fear is when that guy's coming at you with a chainsaw or machete. That ain't fear. That's fear. But fear comes in a multitude of flavors and sizes.
Yep.
Fear comes in different forms. Apprehension is fear. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. When I was a little boy, I still remember this with vividness. I was out with my father, and most of you knew I grew up without a father. My father and mother divorced when I was 5, but what many of you don't know, that when I was 9, they got remarried. But that lasted not for years, but for months or weeks. It was over as fast as it started, and my father was torn out of my life for the second time. And I didn't see him between 5 and 9, and then I didn't see him between 9 and 16. But when I was 9, my little brother was 5, and I remember this very carefully or very vividly. We were sitting at a restaurant, and we had an Indian with us, the kind with the feathers. And my father was teasing my little brother, who was 5, about being scared that this Indian was going to scalp his head off. And so my brother was very concerned, and you could see the fear in his eyes. Then all of a sudden he raised up his shoulders and he said, "I'm not scared, I'm careful."
I like that. I'll use that.
There's nothing wrong with being careful, but God said, "Do not fear." And when we have apprehension, that is a form of light fear. Right? We're cautious, a little too cautious. We don't want to do what God said to do. Is a far worse fear, even though on a scale you would rank it very small, it's actually ranked very big. Fear that causes you not to do what God said. You know, we looked at the scripture Sunday, and we talked about the scripture said that you were cursed because of the evil you did by forsaking God. And we like to take that as forsaking God means to, you know, not acknowledge God in our life or not give him any credibility or anything in our life. But that's not what the scripture's saying. Yes, that's one form of forsaking God, but there are many other forms of forsaking God. You see, every time you come to God and you turn your back to him, you have forsaken him once again. Okay? Now, I'm going to get personal. I'm going to meddle a little bit. That's what I do. Thank you, Ann. I appreciate that compliment. When the offering basket comes along on Sunday and you don't ask God what he wants you to do, let me show you what you did. Why ain't you asking him? Because you don't want the answer.
Come on.
You want to get away with what you want to get away with. Hey, there's been times God's told me to do some stuff that hurts. And I've had to do it because I refuse to turn my back to God. I want to be looking at God. Mm-hmm. But see, when we exclude God, it's a form of forsaking him. Mm-hmm. When God says on the street, go pray for somebody, and you know he told you. Mm. You start reasoning that away, that's turning your back on God. That's forsaking God. Mm-hmm. Now, why do you do that? Mm. Because of fear. Fear causes you to forsake God because you might not like the answer you get. Every time in Fort Lauderdale, we got such a homeless problem. I don't know what kind of homeless problem we have here in Lake Placid, but it's not on every corner. Mm-mm. Right? It's not every time you come to a stoplight, you're dealing with a homeless guy. Amen? But in Fort Lauderdale, especially on the east part of town, sometimes, and even on the west part of town, it's not one homeless guy begging for money. It's three, four, five in the same intersection sometimes. And I have a pet peeve. You see, that burns my butt. And that burns my butt is because they shouldn't be in the street. Because, you know, Marjorie doesn't drive that well.
That's not right.
No, I'm serious. If we run him over, I'm going to get sued and he ain't going to be homeless. I'm going to be homeless. Get out of the street. I think we lost Crystal. Okay. Listen, but yet each and every one, I have an obligation to say, God, shall I move? Because if God says to move, I got to move, even if I don't like it. If God wants me to give him a 5 spot or a 10 spot or a 20 spot, and my next question, if he tells me yes, is how much? That's the second question. I got to do what God wants me to do. I can't forsake God. If I ran around forsaking God, you'd have a powerless bishop. Okay? I can't let fear interfere with what God wants me to accomplish for him on that very given moment, very given day, to that very given person. Now, most of them are scams, by the way. A lot of scams. And most of the time, God tells me, nope, nope. Nope, nope, nope. And then every now and then I get a yep. Did I really just ask? And now I got to go do something about it. You see, we don't ask the question because we don't want the answer, because the answer is going to, we're fearful of the answer. It's going to cause us to do something we don't want to do because we have a limited understanding that that very thing that we're holding on to so tight may be the very thing that God wants us to release so that he can put something bigger in your hand. God's not moving you out of your comfort zone for his sake. He's moving you out of your comfort zone for your own sake. But your fear holds you back. That's why I love the programs that we have here with our youth. These youth get on stage. Listen, that group who just got on this stage to sing The Rescuer for Pastor Donna had no understanding they were singing. They did not practice. They got told about 30 seconds before they got on stage that I wanted to present that to Pastor Donna. They didn't know. Do you see any fear in their eyes? No. You see them shaking? No. We're removing the fear out of our kids. Pastor Donna is removing the fear out of the smaller children. And when they get to be the older children, they're going to tear the stage up. Because they have no fear. They know how to pray. Mm-hmm. Some of our kids can pray like you can't believe. I wish you could hear them sometime. They know how to pray. They're not afraid. You saw little Elizabeth, I brought her up here today. She have no fear. I'll get that fear out of her right now. She's 5. She wanted to come up here and be my partner tonight. She wanted to come up here and pray with me. She asked me. I didn't ask her. We never miss an opportunity to defear a young one. Now, if I could only figure out how to defear the older ones. My class Monday nights are predominantly people that have no experience with this type of Christianity. And as I was preaching Monday night, they were sitting there with their mouths wide open. I never saw such astonished. They were astonished because they've never heard this type of warrior, aggressive Christianity that's going to take them someplace. And I told them, my goal is to empower them to do what I do. But to do that, I've got to remove their fear. They're scared. They don't want to pray. They're afraid to pray. They don't stand up and pray. They're afraid. Give me a couple of months. They're going to start looking like a whole different creature because I'm not going to tolerate that. And I might lose a couple. I'll scare a couple off. I always do. That's not on me. That's on them. God sent them somewhere to empower them. If they can't take it, then they can't take it. But they got to get empowered because I'm not going to just waste my breath. We've got to get fear out of us. Mm-hmm. So when we're apprehensive about doing something, that's fear. When we just simply don't do that which we know we should do, that's fear. Okay, I'm not going to ask God how much I should give because he might tell me. See, Christianity's gotten this set thing where the pastor gets up and starts screaming about 10%. That way you know what to do. That's not what you do. Jesus said, what's in your heart? Ask Jesus what he wants you to do. Hey, if you're at peace with it, you're all right. If you're not at peace with it, recheck yourself. There's a reason you don't have peace. It's because you haven't followed what the Holy Spirit's told you to do. You don't need a man getting up here telling you what to do when it comes to your finances. You need a God to tell you what to do. Apprehension is a big form of fear. Anxiety is a great form of fear. The littlest thing sometimes can set you off. Many of you don't know this, but I've been counseling a woman with anxiety for over 12 years. Margie will tell you it's true. Pastor Linda has seen me do it many occasions and will tell you it's true. Mm-hmm. I can't get the fear out of her. That's a false statement. I can get the fear out of her if she'll listen to what I tell her to do, but she won't listen to what I tell her to do.
Mm-hmm. She won't let go.
See, you don't have to have fear. Mm-hmm. Starting off in business, every time I saw something different, it was my first time. There was the first time I hung a door. There was the first time I built a cabinet. There was the first time I fixed a plumbing leak. There was the first time I laid tile. There was the first time I painted. There was a first time for about 1,000 things. Mm-hmm. I'll figure it out, was my attitude. And I remember one day I spent 3 days underneath a lady's kitchen sink for $50. I did. I couldn't stop that leak for anything in the world. Poor lady wanted to throw me out in the worst way. She's like, this boy don't know what he's doing. She was right. I never did it before. But I came out of there 3 days done. No more leak. Got my $50.
75 in the hole.
That's about $17 a day. That's about $2 an hour. Not counting parts that I went through, about $80 worth of parts. We're going to count that. When you overcome your fear, you always get educated.
Yes.
You know what? The next time I got called for a leak under kitchen sink, I wasn't so concerned about it. I had already done it. You see, I know everything not to do. I'm the best leak under a kitchen sink fixer that you've ever seen in your life, because I know 1,000 things not to do. See, I got under the next sink, fixed it in 10 minutes, and collected my money. Fear cripples us. And we talk about fear a lot. The Bible says do not fear so often. But now we're going to start to talk to you about how to break the fear off of you. Telling you not to be fearful is pretty useless, really. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately. And most Christianity is that way. It's just useless. They tell you what to do, what not to do, what you need, what you don't need. And they never tell you how to get it. That's what I struggled with coming up as a Christian. I knew all this Christian jargon and didn't know what none of it really meant. Why do you think I take the time explaining these things to you? What grace is and what this is and what that is? Because I heard all these terms my whole life and was a deacon in a church and didn't know what this stuff really meant. Because they never explained it to you. My favorite one is how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to have a personal relationship. What? Yeah, I got one. Huh? I didn't even know what one looked like. They never showed me that. They never taught me how. So many times I'll give you lessons on how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, how you have to include him in all that you do, how you have to be talking to him every day so that you'll begin to hear him answer you back. And that's how you have a personal, when he becomes your friend, when he's as real to you as Bruce is to me right now. When I can feel him walking beside me, when I know he's in the car with me, when I know he's at home with me. Because I've included him. So we're going to look at 12 declarations to try to get fear off of us because it cripples us. That is why I'll go to other places and speak. I'm really good at speaking to people I know. I'm not really good at speaking to people I don't know. That's my thing. So I make myself go to places where I speak. And because I'm going to conquer the fear. Right? I went to a church and sang a rap song. Yeah, it probably is. Now, for those of you who think I wanted to do that, you done lost your ever-loving mind. I did not want to go sing a rap song. But God put it on my heart to do, and I had a choice to be fearful or to go through with it. They still talk about that song. Do it again. Yeah. Do it again. I like that. Hey, maybe someday I will do it again. I'll consider that. But the reality is that I had to step into my fear. I can't let fear cripple me and do what it is that I do. Now, what is it that I do? I'm an ambassador to Jesus Christ. That's what I am. I'm a disciple. That's what I do. And I can't let fear interfere. And now, Pastor Linda will tell you, when we go out to another church,
there is no fear.
Not only is there no fear, but I recognize the hunger in the people, mm-hmm, who are looking for something they've never heard. And it's amazing, and I start understanding that verse that says a prophet can do no good in his own hometown.
Right.
The last church we went to was the Melbourne church, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was standing. Yeah. Nobody. Spirit of God hit that place, and the five-year-olds were laying on their backs. Oh, it's true. The entire congregation was down.
Mm-hmm. For a long time.
Yeah, they didn't just get back up either. They were down and out. Mm-hmm. They did a Bruce.
Got the smack down.
Oh, you ain't the only one.
Yeah.
Anxiety, fear, false evidence appearing real. Most of the things we fear never come about. I have seen some fear of people losing their job as if all of a sudden the earth was going to swallow them up. Earth ain't swallowed you yet. Probably not going to swallow you in the future. We can overcome our fear by walking through it, even if we're afraid. You can't let your fear stop you from accomplishing anything.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start. All that was for free.
You think?
We almost done?
It's 8:42, yeah. Somebody already heard the declarations of, go ahead and turn them off, had already heard the declarations of the thing that breaks fear.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got here tonight, I was presented with their picture. They obviously don't know that I carry a gun, and Thanksgiving's really close.
Oh.
They are getting well fed. They are on top of the grapevine.
Is that where my grapes are going? Oh, it's on now. We're going to have a turkey fight.
There was seven, six.
Huh? Six turkeys on the ground. Eating my grapes?
Yeah. Honey, they ain't just eating your grapes. They are feasting on your grapes. Just saying. They have no fear.
I'm going to enjoy my Thanksgiving dinner this year.
That's what I said. That's right. That's right.
Not with my grapes, Nugget.
Along with your grapes. I thought that was really cute. They have no fear. A perfect example of no fear. They're up there just
they're gonna
having
have
a good
fear.
Time. That fear is coming. Okay. Right? Okay, you can turn it back on. We're going to talk about what I consider the number one thing that subjects us to bondage every day. And it's we're going to discuss the cycle of false evidence appearing real, or better known as fear. And it is out there every day. It's time to get rid of the fear in your life. If you give the spirit of fear place in your life, you will regret it. Because it is hard to get rid of.
The Bible says in the different translations,
mm-hmm.
Don't give the devil an opportunity. Don't give the devil a chance. Don't give the devil a foothold. Don't give the devil a stronghold. And many other translations along the same line. But it's basically saying the easiest way to get it off of you is not to let it in you to start with.
Right.
It's harder to get rid of than it is to keep it away. And the devil knows what it is you're fearful of.
Yes.
Whether it's public speaking, public praying, whether it's, he knows. He's going to use it against you on a regular basis.
The spirit of fear has one job. That's to sabotage your destiny. Has one job. God gave us power, love, and sound mind, which leads us to the first declaration found in 2 Timothy 1:7.
For God did not give us a spirit of fear. That's an important thing to understand, because if God didn't give it to you, you picked it up somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You picked it up. How'd you pick it up? I look at my little chihuahua, and he's the most gentlest creature in the world. And I always used to scare my previous chihuahua. And I'd scare him. I'd tell him things. And she was very smart. And when I'd tell her things, she'd attack me.
You think?
Like, I'd give her food, and then I'd tell her, I'd say, Daddy, eat it. And she would attack me. She'd come running after me, growling and biting, trying to take a piece of me because I said I was going to eat her food. She was fearful that I was going to eat her food. This new Chihuahua I got, I can't scare for nothing. It don't matter what I do. It just looks at me like, seriously? There's no fear in Tiger whatsoever. You can't shake him. I've taught him how to jump at you like that. And I jump at him like that. And he just looks at me like, and then he'll jump at me back. He has no fear. He was never given a spirit of fear, and he never picked it up. There you go. A lot in the name. He gave us a spirit of power and of love and of a good mind. That's what we started with. Yes. How many have ever prayed, God, take me back to the beginning? Take me back to the beginning when I didn't have any fear. I had a spirit of power and a spirit of love, and I had a good mind. Take me back there, God. I liked it there. Sometimes you can ask God to take you back because you picked up some things along the way that are hindering you, and you got to go back to the place you were before you ever had that stuff on you. Get it off of me, God. I used to be afraid that I didn't have business and I couldn't support my family. That was probably my biggest fear ever. And in the early days, you know, it was tough. But God always came through. He never left me for too long. And we always paid our bills and we always survived. And now we're pushing 60 and still surviving. Now, if I survive the first 60, I ain't gonna worry about the last 30. There's no reason. Right?
If we allow fear to remain active in our life, it will take hold of your thoughts, paralyze your forward momentum, and suffocate your God-given destiny. Through Christ, God has given us the power to overcome every obstacle the enemy attempts to set our way. 1 John 4:1.
Now, before I read this, I want you to know that the reason you picked up fear is because you didn't trust. Right? Mm-hmm. Tiger trusts me. So there's nothing I can do to scare him. Angel, however, did not trust that I would not eat her food. And she let me know it. She ripped me open a lot of times. I shed a lot of blood with that dog. Oh, my goodness. Let Marjorie tell you about it sometime, Nugget. It's trust. I didn't even know this was about trust, but it is. How about that? My loved ones, I warn you, do not trust every spirit. Instead, examine them carefully to determine if they come from God. One of my favorite ones is God asked me to leave the church. Uh-huh. Did he now? Where is he sending you?
Come on.
I don't know. I'm going to just go to other churches and see. Test the spirits. You're listening to the wrong spirit. When God told me to leave a church and go to the other church, I was pastoring it in a week. God doesn't move laterally. God doesn't send you into a wasted desert. He doesn't have you roaming around trying to figure out his will. If he wants you to move, you better know where you're going or it's not from God. Test the spirit.
Yep.
If you can't at least tell me where you're going, he didn't ask you to go.
Come on.
But what do I know?
Well.
Do not trust every spirit. Instead, examine them carefully to determine if they come from God, because the corrupt world is filled with the voices of many false prophets. You heard Lisa get on this stage today and tell you that the prophet spoke over her and everything he said came to pass. I can't tell you how many other people in this church have come to me and said, everything he said has come to pass. The many, many times he prophesied over me, I can tell you, everything he said has come to pass. Mm-hmm. You test the voices. If it didn't come to pass, he would not be my prophet anymore. I'm testing him right now. When he says something over me, it better come down. I better see it. I don't need to see it today, but within a short time or the time that he's designated, I'm going to see something. Mm-hmm. I am dismayed by how easy it is for you to listen to the wrong voice and follow it. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you how you can tell if it's the wrong voice? You're afraid to talk to me about it. Mm. You see, when that voice is talking to you, it's going to keep you away from me. I might talk some sense into you. The one I'm talking about left out the back door without saying bye to me because the voice wasn't going to let it say goodbye to me. Mm-hmm. Okay, if it's from God, I'll celebrate with you. You tell me I need to go next door to that church because God told me to move from here to there. I'll walk you over there and introduce you to Pastor Cole and put in a good word for you. If that's what God said, I want what God said. Happened to me before. I had to leave a church because God said to move. But stop thinking that God moves you laterally. God doesn't move anything laterally. There's promotion in God. He's going to promote you where he moves you, one way or another, and he will tell you where to go. Some of our fear is based on unclean spirits. That's why you have a godly family. Because I will tell you this, it's not easy to trust the spirits on your own or to test the spirits on your own. Why does God say test them? Because he knows you're hearing from them. God's not trying to suffer any losses. If an unclean spirit can get you to listen to him, y'all remember what I told you about Bruce Jenner. Start listening to the unclean spirits. You'll be wearing a dress one day. Hey, let me tell you something. It didn't start off with, hey, Bruce. I mean, Caitlin. You should be wearing a dress. Bruce say, but I'm an Olympic athlete. I'm a man's man. I ain't wearing no dress. That's what he would have said. But the Spirit didn't do that. The Spirit said, hey, Bruce. Isn't Pastor Donna pretty? You know, a little eyeshadow and you'd be a lot prettier too.
You are so
Oh, funny. I'm right. Y'all know I'm right. My sensor's getting mad at me, but I'm right. Hey, it's a trail of blood breadcrumbs. Yeah. You follow the breadcrumbs. He's going to send you down the row of breadcrumbs to get you where he wants you. But he's not stupid enough to come to you right off the bat and tell you where he wants you. Mm-hmm. God doesn't even do that. If God would have come to me and said, listen, check this out, Jack. You're going to go get a church in Lake Placid. You're going to spend 6 months remodeling it. And then you're going to preach your heart out week after week. I'd be looking behind me to see who he's talking to. When I realized there was nobody there, I'd go find a rock and hide under it. God doesn't even give you the end result. He says, do this. Okay. Now do this. Now do this. And then all of a sudden, I'm walking down the aisle saying, how did I get here? I don't even know how I got here. I have no understanding of what in the world transpired, came together, who put me in Lake Placid in my own church. I have not a clue other than breadcrumbs. The devil works the same way as God in a counterfeit way. There's many false prophets out there, many false voices. Always time. Prayer team, we got to go. My wife's probably happy. She's happy this is over tonight, huh? You happy this is over tonight, baby? Listen, I told the truth tonight. I told the absolute truth. And the truth's not always comfortable or easy. But I told the truth. Father, there's an entire Christian army that's riddled with fear. We're afraid of what our friends think, our family think. Sometimes we know we got to go somewhere and put our Christianity under our belt and not show it off. They know what I'm talking about, God. There's times we got to go somewhere, but we can't act like the true Christian warrior that we are. We can't speak in tongues. We can't raise our hand. We can't praise God. We can't scream hallelujah. Because there's people around us that just don't understand. It's time, Father, that we don't relent. It's time, Father, for us to step out of our comfort zones and be who you created us to be. We're thankful, Father, for the Spirit of Christ, because when I watch Christ walk this earth, I can't imagine God, because I only get in about half the places I go. But Jesus got it everywhere he go. You blasphemer. One time they even called him the devil. I've been called that, God. You the devil. Everywhere he went, he was ostracized. Everywhere he went, he was criticized. Everywhere he went, he was put down. Everywhere he went, regardless of the miracles he did after miracle, It never changed for him the entire time of his ministry. So it shouldn't change for us the entire time of our Christianity. There'll always be those that don't understand God. There'll always be those that don't want to get on board. There'll always be those that want to buck the system. We can't worry about all that, God. We have to remove our fear that hinders us, God, from rising to the occasion. I know, God, you have something you want each and every person in this house to do. The person that they're supposed to talk to has already been set up by you. You've already put it in place, God. I ask you today, God, to remove their fear. Help them remove their fear. I know they've got to do it too, God.